The Son of Man is indeed the Lord of the Sabbath. The Gospel of the Lord.
It's good to be back from last year. And of course, Father has been talking a lot about the nothing ever happens. In other words, referring to God's mysterious divine providence. Certainly, I can say that this has certainly been an experience in my life. I think we Americans kind of tend to really want to plan everything. We have our various kinds of funds and so forth, and monies to educate our children and so on and so forth, and that is all good. But I think we have to leave a lot of room in our lives for things that we don't expect. If you had told me that 10 years ago, in 1988, that I would be standing here in front of you as a priest at this retreat, I would tell you that you were probably crazy. But in May of 1988, I was married for 32 years, and my wife was diagnosed in May of that year of having a malignant brain tumor. And 9 months later, she passed away on the day after Christmas. And of course, she and I had 10 children, 5 boys and 5 girls. And over the years, 4 of those children have died as a result of cystic fibrosis. Patty was 12, and Cindy was 21, Marianne was 25, and Jerry died when he was 29. And of course, Jerry died after my wife died. He died in 1990. So those are things that were kind of certainly unexpected in my life. And of course, as I go back and think about the preparation for myself, and I look back in the early 1980s, and I see several of the fellows that I remember. And I see certainly John Ambiel back there manning the cameras. We see Tom Bresler, who I realize now you're in Signal Mountain, Tennessee. And of course there's Bob Ellis, always brought several of his children here to the retreats at Bellarmine in Barrington, Illinois. We see Jim Arrett, and also of course the always present Bill Fairman, and of course also our mentor, all of our mentors, and Father Hardin. And of course, I recall those days when he used to fly in from New York and have theology meetings beginning in September and ending in May, the last week in May. He would come 2 times on a Sunday afternoon. We would open the days with Mass and have our theology sessions and close with 5 o'clock, have refreshments during that time. But he was preparing the people in Chicago for the knowledge of their faith, because we know from what he has said, and I think you all have experienced this, that is being sorely tested in our own environments, the parishes that we live and the families that we are in. So consequently, Father has come, and I would say that it was during that time that really the truths of the faith really began to be, much more of a understanding, if you will, because that's the one we had just covered. In other words, my understanding of faith grew and blossomed in that period of time. When my wife died, I decided here in Barrington, Illinois, 1991, to pursue the priesthood. Now, the next question is, who would take an old guy like myself? Well, I was fortunate. I was, and of course, with Father Hardin, my spiritual advisor and also my mentor, helping me making in all of these contacts, so to speak. And I contacted the bishop in Peoria, John Myers, no relation to me. My name is Meyer. And I went down there, and I was accepted for the seminary program. And, of course, I made that decision here before the Blessed Sacrament in 1991. I'm a dentist by profession. Two of my children are dentists, and I was working with my one son for 2 years, and I didn't think he was quite ready to take over the practice, so I stayed there one more year and finally started the seminary in St. Charles Borromeo in September of 1992 in Philadelphia. Since we don't have a seminary in Peoria, they farm their fellows out to the various seminaries. We have some in Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg. We had one in Mundelein, but we don't usually use Mundelein. And, of course, we did the other half of the fellows went to St. Charles, a very Orthodox seminary in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And, of course, after 4 years, I was ordained in 1996 for the Diocese of Peoria and stationed as an associate pastor in Ottawa, Illinois, in St. Columba. And just recently, on June 10th, I was assigned as pastor to St. Francis of Assisi in the same town of Ottawa. So you can see that certainly my life has changed. And, of course, it just doesn't happen that way. Just like it doesn't happen that I just happen to be here today, and just as it doesn't happen that you are here, because the Holy Spirit has brought you here to hear the words, the truth of Jesus Christ and of His church. And this is what we're going to get out of this. And, of course, there is no finer teacher than Father Hardin. And even though his physical ailments he every once in a while mentions, I'd say that he has more energy than probably half of us. In any event, as you listen to what he has to say, the beauty of the faith should open up to us so that we are able to go back into our own homes and our sphere of influence and the people we come in contact with to bring them the faith in any way that we possibly can. And, of course, it is usually by the example of our lives. It isn't by preaching. It is by what we do. And people are influenced by that. And, of course, I think we all know that we have children, we have wives, we have grandparents and so forth, and many of the brothers, sisters that we might have really, maybe some of them have fallen away in the faith. And, of course, we wish to bring them back to the fullness of the faith in Christ in the Catholic Church. The only thing that I might say is that we must have always patience, express kindness, and, of course, be always underpinning of love. Love, and because when we say we love somebody else, we always want what is best for the other person, for those who we claim to love. So we want them to have the faith as we want to have the faith and embrace it in the way that the Church is able to give it to us, being the mystical body of Christ. So we thank our Lord for Him sending us here and also for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel today, we hear of Christ saying that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. There were 39 prohibitions in the Jewish law about what you could and could not do. Of course, like every other thing, there were a lot of loopholes. And, of course, the Pharisees and the scribes usually found those loopholes. So, consequently, they did not really give the example that they should have given to the people in their own time. Sometimes, in a Catholic, we might think that going to Sunday Mass is a prohibition because we see that there are so many that really do not go to Mass. And, of course, being on both sides of the aisle, being a layperson, then, of course, being in the clergy, we see the lack of interest that people have in coming to Mass, which is some of the very common, you know, the bottom line, so to speak, of Catholicism is coming to Mass on Sundays. The only thing I might say is that, again, with our prayer and with our sacrifice, gaining the merit, as we said last night when somebody asked about the communion of saints, And that is how our Lord operates, that our merits are able to be transferred to other people, people we don't even know, people that we are complete strangers to us. So we have patience in that too. We constantly ask our Lord to give us the grace, first of all, to live our lives according to the way that He wants us to, and then finally to help us in our own lives to have the graces we need to make help influencing our own families, which is really our most important task, and then we can go out and influence others. The example of our lives is probably the most critical, and all I can say is please do it always with patience and with love to express to your children or to the people that you come in contact that your love for them is really the measure by which we are going to try to help them. We thank God for these, all the benefits that He's given us here, and hope that we will have a lasting, the effects of this retreat will be lasting. Not only that, but hopefully we will all reassemble here next year and to get some additional, more or less, shots in the arm, infusion of grace, infusion of energy to go out and continue to do the work that God wants us to do, whatever it might be. Please stand. Thanks.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees were outside, they began to plot against Jesus to find a way to destroy him. Jesus was aware of this, and so he withdrew from that place. Many people followed him, and he cured them all, though he sternly ordered them not to make public what he had done. This was to fulfill what had been said through Isaiah the prophet. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, my loved one in whom I delight. I will endow him with my spirit, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not contend or cry out, nor will his voice be heard in the streets. The bruised reed he will not crush, the smoldering wick he will not quench, until judgment is made victorious. In his name, the Gentiles will find hope. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, my loved one in whom I delight. What a beautiful passage for us to reflect on this particular retreat day, because it calls home to us some very basic things we need to realize to truly find peace in our lives, to truly be the gentle one that God calls us to. This gospel passage is all about the gentle love of God. The gentle love of God to us and the gentle love of God that is meant to be transmitted through us. Here is my loved one in whom I delight. Christ is for us the revelation of God's love. He is for us the model of how we are to accept and respond to that love. We, like Christ, are called to an identity of being the beloved of God. And so this morning, it'd be good for us to reflect upon the ABCs of this call of gentle love. The first part is revealed as our Lord says, I will endow him with my spirit. The A of gentle love is to accept all that God sends us. We see it revealed in Christ in Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but thine be done. We see it revealed in the most beloved of God, Mary, be it done unto me according to your word. We see it revealed in all the saints, beginning with John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease. There are many things we are called to accept in our lives. Among them, of course, are the people in our lives. I recall my father and I, when he was still alive, for years and years there was always areas of disagreement. And as soon as he would bring one up, the fences would go up, and my reaction would be persistently one of countering him. And for whatever reason, one day I was moved to just fall silent and really listen. And at the end of it, I said, well, gee, Dad, you might be right. I'll really think about that. That was the last time we ever discussed that point of conflict. Because what he yearned more than anything else was acceptance of where he was, and in this case, what he was thinking and how he was thinking about it. But we also need to accept our life situation and realize the crosses and sufferings in our life are something God wants us to accept and not just constantly and compulsively be processing. You know, we have this tendency within us that when something is not right, it's bothering us, we keep worrying about it, we keep thinking about it, we keep trying to bring it to its peaceful end. And it can contaminate our life with constant worry and frustration. Another one of those email stories entitled The Trouble Tree. The carpenter I hired to help me restore an old farmhouse had just finished a rough first day on the job. A flat tire made him lose an hour of work. His electric saw quit, and now his ancient pickup truck refused to start. While I drove him home, he sat there in stony silence. On arriving, he invited me to meet his family. As we walked toward the front door, he paused briefly at a small tree, touching the tip of the branches with both hands. When opening the door, he underwent an amazing transformation. His tanned face was wreathed in smiles, and he hugged his two small children and gave his wife a big kiss. Afterward, he walked me to the car. We passed the tree, and my curiosity got the better of me. I asked him about what I had seen him do earlier. Oh, that's my trouble tree, he replied. I know I can't help having troubles on the job, but one thing for sure, troubles don't belong in the house with my wife and children. So I just hang them on the tree every night when I come home, and then in the morning I pick them up again. Funny thing is, he smiled, when I come out in the morning to pick them up, there ain't nearly as many as I remember hanging up the night before. What a beautiful perspective on life. What a beautiful and accepting way to deal with life. We all have crosses. We all have suffering. We all have conflicts. But the first step of gentle love and the acceptance of God's gentle love is to accept all that God sends us. Not just the joys, but also what we perceive to be the sufferings. Because as Father Hardin so often brings home, they are the ones that purify us. They consist of the cross, God crossing our will with His. They are the opportunity of the greatest joy in life, which Father Hardin so clearly says is the joy of being able to suffer for those we love. So the A of this gentle love is to accept whatever God sends us. The B is to believe that God has a purpose in everything that He sends us. We read in today's Gospel, as the Old Testament Isaiah is quoted, "The bruised reed He will not crush." To believe that everything in life and every person and event and circumstance in our life is not accidental. God is behind everything. As Father Hardin so often says, happens is not in God's vocabulary. Nothing just happens. There is no such thing as a coincidence. There's no such thing as an accident. God foresees and intends or permits everything in our life. And so it's important for us to take on an attitude of truly trusting that He does know what He's doing, and to believe He has a purpose in every creature in our lives. Jerry was the kind of guy you love to hate. He was always in a good mood and always had something positive to say. When someone would ask him how he was doing, he would reply, "If I were any better, I would be twins." He was a unique manager because he had several waiters who had followed him around from restaurant to restaurant. The reason the waiters followed Jerry was because of his attitude. He was a natural motivator. If an employee was having a bad day, Jerry was there telling the employee how to look on the positive side of the situation. Seeing this style really made me curious, so one day I went up to Jerry and asked him, "I don't get it. You can't be a positive person all of the time. How do you do it?" Jerry replied, "Each morning I wake up and say to myself, 'Jerry, you have two choices today. You can choose to be in a good mood or you can choose to be in a bad mood. I choose to be in a good mood. Each time something bad happens, I can choose to be a victim or I can choose to learn from it. I choose to learn from it. Every time someone comes to me complaining, I can choose to accept their complaining or I can point out the positive side of life. I choose the positive side of life." "Yeah, right. It's not that easy," I protested. "Yes, it is," Jerry said. "Life is all about choices. When you cut away all the junk, every situation is a choice. You can choose how you react to situations. You choose how people will affect your mood. You choose to be in a good mood or bad mood. The bottom line, it's your choice how you live life." I reflected on what Jerry said. Soon thereafter, I left the restaurant industry to start my own business. We lost touch. But I often thought about him when I made a choice about life instead of reacting to it. Several years later, I heard that Jerry did something you are never supposed to do in the restaurant business. He left the back door open one morning and was held up at gunpoint by three armed robbers. While trying to open the safe, his hand, shaking from nervousness, slipped off the combination. The robbers panicked and shot him. Luckily, Jerry was found relatively quickly and rushed to the local trauma center. After 18 hours of surgery and weeks of intensive care, Jerry was released from the hospital with fragments of the bullets still in his body. I saw Jerry about 6 months after the accident. When I asked him how he was, he replied, "If I were any better, I'd be twins. Want to see my scars?" I declined to see his wounds, but did ask him what had gone through his mind as the robbery took place. "The first thing that went through my mind was that I should have locked the back door," Jerry replied. "Then as I lay on the floor, I remember that I had two choices. I could choose to live or I could choose to die. I chose to live." "Weren't you scared? Did you lose consciousness?" I asked. Jerry continued, "The paramedics were great. They kept telling me I was going to be fine. But that when they wheeled me into the emergency room and I saw the expressions on the faces of the doctors and nurses, I got really scared. In their eyes I read, 'He's a dead man.' I knew I needed to take action. "What did you do?" I asked. "Well, there was this big burly nurse shouting questions at me," said Jerry. "And she asked if I was allergic to anything." "Yes," I replied. The doctors and nurses stopped working as they waited for my reply. I took a deep breath and yelled, "Bullets." Over their laughter, I told them, "I'm choosing to live. Operate on me as if I'm alive, not dead." Jerry lived thanks to the skill of his doctors, but also because of his amazing attitude. I learned from him that every day we have the choice to live fully. Attitude, after all, is everything. How beautifully Jerry brings home to us that second aspect of the ABCs of gentle love. The B of believing that God has a purpose in everything. The B that leads us to see that this belief is all about trust. Living a life where we trust in God's providence. If we have the attitude of Jerry, we can be sure that gentle love is within our grasp. Because we can be sure that we're believing and we're living in constant belief that God really does love us. And that every hardship in our life is somehow part of that gentle love. And that every opportunity of frustration and irritation has a purpose behind it of being the key moment, the teachable moment, where this loved one or this person can be touched by patience and gentleness. We've all experienced it, where we've done something stupid and been impressed by how this person very gently and understandably and compassionately dealt with it. The B of truly believing God has a purpose in everything He sends us. The final aspect of the ABCs of gentle love is to complete the plan of God in our lives. "Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart," is a call for us to be Christ to others, to carry out that gentle response. We read in this gospel passage how He will be gentle with the weak and kind to the helpless. And that's exactly what we need to focus on. The sun and the wind were arguing one day about who was the stronger. And finally, an opportunity arose for them to resolve their dispute. A man was walking down the road, bundled up in a coat, and they decided that whichever of the two could make the man take, could remove the coat the fastest, would be the winner. And so the wind went first. And he blew and he blew and he blew, and the more he blew, the more the man clutched his coat more tightly. And finally it was the sun's turn. And the sun, all he did was shine in all of his radiance. And very quickly, the man removed his coat. The point of this ancient fable is that gentleness works better than violence. That love is more effective than fear. And that each of us is called in our lives to think about the gentleness we have or don't yet have. How can we be more gentle? Someone once beautifully said, "What comes from the heart touches the heart." It's the heart that leads others to God. It's the heart that brings peace to our lives. Our Lord today wants us to hear the words of the gospel as He says, "Here is my loved one in whom I delight." We are called to be the loved ones of God and to see in all the people in our lives loved ones of God to whom we want to share and bring the gentle love of God. Let us truly reflect upon the carpenter and Jerry and the conflict between the sun and the wind, and see the call of gentle love in our lives, the call to accept all that God sends us, to believe in God's purpose in all that He sends, and to complete His plan of gentle love in our own lives.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois 60641, or call area code 773-267-1195.